The story is told about two deacons in a church that decided to skip church one morning and go fishing. And they fished all day long and didn't catch one fish. In fact, they didn't even get a bite. And the one deacon, kind of feeling a little bit guilty, looked over at the other and said, "You know what? Maybe somebody's trying to tell us something. Maybe we should have went to church." And the other deacon said, "Oh no, I couldn't have gone to church. My wife's sick." Or there's another story about a man that decided to skip church and go to the racetrack. And he did. And the pastor found out about it. So the pastor went to talk to him and told him what he had heard. This guy got really angry. He said, "I can't believe that you'd believe a story like that, Pastor. I am really upset. I did not go to the racetrack on Sunday morning, and I have the fish to prove it." We've been studying "So Great a Salvation." And folks, over these last weeks, we have seen some precious truth from God's word about the salvation which he has provided. Last week, we took a look at the fact that once a person truly becomes a Christian, we're talking about somebody that has placed their faith in Christ, trusted Christ, grabbed on to Christ as their only hope of getting up to heaven. A true Christian cannot lose their salvation. They are safe and secure in Christ. Once Christ comes in, he says, "I will never leave you, never forsake you." He said, "I know my sheep. I hear their voice. They follow me, and I give to them eternal life. And no one will snatch them out of my hands. The Father who is greater than all, and no one's able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. I and the Father are one." That we have safety, we have security in Christ. He's holding on to me, and I thank the Lord for that, folks, because I'm weak. I'm weak, but he is strong. Praise God. Well, today we want to look at the fact that when a person becomes a true believer, it changes the relationship to the church. You know, before a person is truly saved, before a person truly has that relationship with Christ, they may attend church. They may even be a member in a church. But once you get saved, it changes the whole relationship between that person and the church. Or a person may have never darkened the door of a church. They may have never walked in a church. But once you get saved, once you know the Lord, there is a marked difference in how you relate to this thing called the church. Max Anders, in his book, 12 Things You Need to Know About Salvation, says this: step through the door of salvation and you are automatically in the church. He goes on to say, each of us, when we become a Christian, has a God-given role to play in the church. And we should play it well. Today I want to look at what that role is that we have as we become part of God's family. What is our relationship to the church? And I want to ask today, I think it'll become clear as we look at three questions about the Christian and our relationship to the church. Three questions. First of all, first question is this: what is the church? What is the church? When we're speaking of the church, what are we speaking of? And like many times, before you can define something, you got to blast before you can build. because there's some wrong ideas about what the church really is. And so let's look at what the church isn't before we look at what it is. First of all, the church is not a building. Amen. It's not a building. Nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in Scripture is the word church used to refer to a building. Now take your Bibles, I want you to open them up to Acts 14:27. This becomes clear as we take a look at just a couple of verses. But Acts 14:27. This verse is in the context of Paul and Barnabas returning from their first missionary journey. And they come back to the sending church, the church in Syrian Antioch. And in chapter 14 of Acts, verse 27, it reads, "When they had arrived, they gathered the church together. And they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles." Now, it's obvious they gathered the church together. They weren't gathering buildings. It wasn't gathering of buildings. They were gathering a people. A people. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Really interesting verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And look down at verse 19. Verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 16. This is Paul's salutation, his final greetings and blessings on the church. And he says this in verse 19 of chapter 16. "The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house." Now that's very interesting. First of all, it's very obvious that no church building greets anyone. When you walked in here this morning, you walking in from the parking lot, you didn't hear, "Hello, hi, it's good to have you, church," coming from the building. If you did, you're hallucinating. You were out last night. I don't know what you were doing, but the church building doesn't say that. And it says that the church greets you that was meeting in their house. It's interesting that the early church had no buildings. Now, they met in the synagogue at first, but after a short while, they had no buildings. I think all the way up to about the 4th century, they didn't meet in buildings. They met in homes. And the church was not the house. He said, "The church which meets in their house." And this building, I appreciate this building. I'm so thankful that God has given us a building to meet in. And it's a nice building. It looks nice inside. It looks nice outside. But the building is not the church. Some people have talked to me and they say, "Oh, I drove by your church and what a beautiful church you have." And you know what I always say? You ought to see the beautiful church that meets inside that building. And I'm talking about you all. The church is not a building. The church also, secondly, is not a denomination. Now, contrary to the belief of some people think that their denomination or their brand of Christianity is the church. Some people actually even think that only their brand of Christianity is going to go to heaven, their church. Only certain kinds of Christians are going to be in heaven. Boy, they're going to be surprised. Yep. They're going to be surprised when they get up to heaven. Because I have a sneaking suspicion that there are Christians in many different denominations. Amen. All kinds of different denominations. You'll find true Christians. Now, denominations are kind of man's invention. God never invented denominations. And up in heaven, there won't be denominations. Won't that be nice? That will be, there's Christians in all. And you know what? It doesn't matter what the label is on the outside of the bottle. You can put Baptist, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Catholic, Methodist, all kinds of different, but you know what? If the bottle's empty, doesn't make any difference. It's what's inside, not the label on the outside, that matters. And I'll tell you what, a denomination is not the church. Well, what is the church? Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to get down to verse 18. But I'd like to read Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, that's a district that's north of the Sea of Galilee. If you're looking on the map, north of Galilee, Sea of Galilee. He was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. I'm going to tell you, folks, that is a very relevant question to today. You go out and ask people, who do you say Jesus Christ is? You would be probably surprised, I'd be probably surprised, at who people think Jesus is. Oh, he's a great prophet. Oh, he's a great teacher, great philosopher, great religious leader. Or like my friend who is Hindu says, he was an enlightened master. A relevant question today. And they say all these things, and then Jesus brings it right home. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say? And here's Peter, Caesarea Philippi, confession. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, he got it right. And Jesus looks at him and says, oh, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And thou art Peter, Petros. Thou art a little pebble. Thou art a little stone. And upon this rock, Petra, upon this bedrock, upon this foundation stone, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Folks, this is the first mention of the word church in the New Testament. First mention. And what is it? The church is Christ's project for this age. It's Christ's project for this age. He says, I will build my church upon this rock, upon himself. Jesus is the rock. Peter is not the rock. Peter's a small stone. He's a pebble, but he's not the rock. Christ is the rock. He is the only foundation. And he says, upon this foundation, upon this bedrock, I'll build my church. You see, this is Christ's project for this age. Right now, Jesus ascended to heaven, and he's doing some things in heaven, folks. He is our high priest in heaven. Amen? He ever lives to make intercession for us. And boy, some of us keep him on his knees. Most of us do. All of us do. He's praying for us. He's our mediator. He's mediating. He's our go-between between us and God in heaven. He is our advocate. He's advocating for us in heaven. He is preparing a place for us in heaven. What a wonderful thing. He's gone back to heaven to prepare a place for us to go. He's doing that all in heaven. But you know what he's doing on earth? He's building his church. That's his project. That's what's important to Christ down here. He said, I'm going to build my church. And that's what he's doing. He's building his church. It's his project. I had a man from a parachurch organization. Now, a parachurch organization is an organization that does the work of Christ, but it's not the church. A parachurch, like the Haven of Rest Ministries, Rescue Mission. Not a church, but it does Christ's work. Or Akron Pregnancy Services is a parachurch organization. But this man told me, he said, Pastor Les, I think God working through the church anymore, that's over. God today is working through the parachurch. I said, oh, I disagree with you. And I know you're wrong. He said, how do you know I'm wrong? I said, because Christ, this is the church age. And when Christ is done working through the church, we're out of here. He's going to come back and take his church to heaven. And the fact that I'm here talking to you tells me you're wrong. Christ's project for this age is to build his church. Now, secondly, what else is the church? It's his project. Secondly, it is the church is a group of called out people. The word for church in the New Testament, and I'm no Greek scholar, but the word is, Jesse, ekklesia. Ekklesia. It comes from two words, ek, which is out of, and kaleo, which means to call. And literally, the church is a group of called out ones. You see, when you become a Christian, if you are one of Christ's people, you have been called out of a normal life. You've been called out of an everyday existence to live your life for Jesus Christ. You're called out. You're called. The word in its simplest form means a gathering or an assembly. But it's an assembly that has experienced the grace of God and is now called to be his ambassadors, his witnesses, lights in this world. That's the church. A group of called out ones. And thirdly, the church is composed of all true believers in Jesus Christ. All true believers. All people who have ever accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. All over the world, worldwide, make up what is called the church universal. Or what some people call the invisible church. I don't like that. I'd rather say it's the church universal. And you know, if you have ever traveled around the world, been in foreign countries, it is so exciting to meet people who are Christians. Because even though you may not speak their language, even though you may look different than they are, I'll tell you what, there's a bond if you are a part of Christ's church. Red, yellow, black, white, male, female, adults, children that know the Lord all over this world make up the church universal. Now, there's also something that we call the local church. Now, that's not in the Bible. You don't find a local church in the Bible, that term. But you know, in Scripture, where the word church is used, ekklesia, several times it's used for the church universal. But the majority of the times, it's used for the local church. And you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul says, I write to the church of God in Corinth. Or in Romans 16, verse 2, where it says that Phoebe was a servant in the church of Cancria, the church that met in that area called Cancria. Now, this church, Faith Bible Fellowship, is a local church. It's a local church. And it composes, it's kind of like, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but like a body. We have this body, but in the body there are cells. And Christ's body is like the church universal. But then you have the local churches are like the cells of the body. And the church is, it meets in a certain place. Now let me ask you a question. If somebody asks you, where is your church? What's the correct answer to that? Where's your church? The correct answer is, on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., it's at 126 West Overdale Drive in Talmadge. On Monday morning at 8 o'clock, it's at a machine shop in Cuyahoga Falls. It's at the Monroe Falls City Building. It's at a, I don't know where Karen is, it's at a hair salon in Talmadge. It's up in Cleveland in the police department. Oh, that's your day off, isn't it? It's in a home in Cuyahoga Falls. Wherever the church is, wherever the people are, that's where the church is. Because the church is God's Christ program. It's consistent of a group of people called out to be followers of Christ, to be witnesses for Christ. And it's all true believers all over this world. And if you're part, if you become a Christian, you're a part of something big. Amen. It's worldwide. It's a worldwide movement that we're called to be a part of. Now, that's what the church is. Second question, what is the Christian's role in the church? What is our role in the church? First of all, a Christian should be committed and involved in the local church. Now, I know probably some of you are saying, you're preaching to the choir, Pastor. I'll tell you, I think we need to hear this today, folks. I really do. I think we need to hear it. That when he saves us, we automatically become a member of the Church Universal. You don't have to do anything to join the Church Universal except accept Christ. But then after we accept Christ, the Lord expects us to take up our rightful place within the church by becoming committed and involved in a local church. It's possible to be a member of a local church and not be a member of the Church Universal, not to be saved. There are people then in a lot of churches that are church members that don't have Christ. And I guess it's possible to be a part of the Church Universal and not to be a part of a local church. It's possible, but it's not normal. It's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way Christ planned it to be. When it comes to God's plan, listen, there is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, states this. This is so well stated. You are called to belong, not to just believe. We are created for community, fashioned for fellowship, formed for a family. None of us can fulfill God's purposes by ourselves. The Bible knows nothing of solitary saints, spiritual hermits, isolated from other believers, deprived of fellowship. The Bible says we are put together, joined together, built together, members together, heirs together, fitted together, held together, and one of these days we're going to be caught up together. The Bible says a Christian without a church is like an organ without a body, a sheep without a flock, a child without a family, and I'm going to add one, a soldier without an army. It is an unnatural state. Warren goes on to say this, today's culture of independent individualism has created many spiritual orphans, bunny believers, who hop around from one church to another without any identity, accountability, or commitment. Many believe one can be a good Christian without joining or even attending a local church. And listen to what he says. But God would strongly disagree. I think he's right. If Christ, listen, doesn't it make sense? If Christ loves his church, he does. And if Christ is committed to building his church, doesn't it make sense that if we are followers of Christ, we will be committed to build his church, to be involved in his church? It just makes sense. So we should be committed and involved. Secondly, and again, I have to say this. Maybe 50 years ago, I wouldn't have had to say this. But a Christian should be committed to regular attendance in God's church. Is church attendance optional? And I'm going to tell you, no, it's really not. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. We read there, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Hear what the writer of Hebrews says, that participation in an attendance is so important. He exhorts, yea, folks, he commands Christians, I'm talking to Christians, get together in church. And especially, he says what? When you see what? What is it? The day approaching. What day? The coming of Christ. And folks, I don't know about you, but everybody I talk to that I think is into the Word of God sees that something's happening in the world. This world is being prepared, folks. The stuff that's happening in the world today is just not happening by chance. It's happening by the design of our God who is sovereign. And preparing this world for the coming of our Savior. And you know, if you read your Bible, the days, the last days that precede the coming of Christ, they're going to be what kind of time? Perilous, dangerous time. And when you see, if this is true, if you see the day approaching, he says, you know what? Be together as Christians. Be together. Be in church. Make it your habit, a habit of holiness, to be with God's people. Why? Because we need to be. We need encouragement. I'll tell you, anybody here need encouragement? Well, if you don't, I need it, so you can give it to me. We need to encourage one another, exhort one another. We need to stimulate one another unto love and good deeds. We need each other. We need each other. Therefore, we should be in church. And you know what? I have to say this, folks. Going to church for a real Christian, I mean a real Christian, should not be a duty. It should be a delight. This is my favorite day. Of course, I don't have to listen to me preach, but it's still my favorite day. I love to be with you guys because you're my family. You're my church. And it should be a delight to be with God's people, not a duty. Oh, we got to. Should we go to church today? That should never be asked. We should say, man, I can't wait to get to God's house. That's a true Christian. Again, Max Anders makes this statement. He says, life in Christ through the church is not an option. Spiritual life apart from the church is abnormal and in violation of the mission of Jesus Christ to create a community of believers. Now listen to this. The choice of some adults to be virtual spiritual hermits is not only a violation of what God intends, but may even be cause for re-examining one's salvation. You say, oh boy, that's legalistic. I don't think so. I really don't. Because when we have Christ in our heart, we want to be with believers. We want to come not only and worship God separately throughout the week, we want to come with others and worship God corporately. It's just being part of being a Christian. That makes a difference. Man, I'll tell you, before I was saved, I went to church occasionally, but it was under duress. It was oh, gee, got to do this. It's, you know. But once I became a Christian, you didn't have to beat me to go to church. Before you did, but not after I became a Christian. Regular church attendance. Another thing, what is our role as a Christian? A Christian should work together with others in the church to help the church function properly. Boy, that's big. You know, the church is described as a body. 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 4, we're a body. You know, and that is so, when the Bible compares the church to a body, it's an analogy in anatomy. I mean, our body, we're one body, but many members. And the church is many members, many diverse parts, but one church. And all those parts have to work together, don't they? You gotta work together. If my liver decides I'm not gonna function, or if my heart says, you know what, I think I'm going on vacation, I'm in trouble. When one part doesn't work, the whole body is affected. And you know what? We have to, if we're true Christians, we're called to come together and work together for the good of the common body. Ephesians 4:16 says it this way. It says, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Did you hear that? In other words, if you are a Christian, you're to be a part of a local church and you are to work with other Christians. And that's really easy to do. Not always. Sometimes it's hard to do. But we are to work together to build up Christ's church, to build up the Lord's church. You know, that's pictured in Scripture in a little phrase, one another. That phrase, one another, occurs over 50 times in the New Testament, and it tells us how we're to relate to one another. We're to love one another, serve one another, submit to one another, encourage one another, build up one another. And all these one another statements, we're to work together to build Christ's church, to build his church. So we're to get along. You know what? And sometimes people make mistakes. Sometimes communication doesn't always happen the right way and people get their feelings hurt. You know what? We need to forgive one another and bear with one another. Now, why would it say bear with one another? Because sometimes it's hard to deal with certain people. But we're to do it and come together so we cooperate with Christ and build his church. And then another thing we're to do as Christians, how we're to function in the church. A Christian should minister and serve in and through the church. Listen, I know right now where you are, this might sound funny. We're not saved to sit. Don't stand up. But we're not saved to sit. We're saved to serve Christ. Serve Christ. In fact, if you are a Christian, every one of you have received a special gift to be able to do that. We're not talking about the gift of salvation, not talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those are gifts. But God has given each one of you that are Christians a special supernatural ability to serve in the church, to serve him. And that's so important. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, listen to this, as each of you, and I'm looking out, as each of you has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has given you a gift. He's entrusted to you a gift and said, now use it. Not to serve yourself, to serve one another in the body of Christ. Now that's important. You've heard the old adage, in some churches 90% of the work is done by 10% of the people. That's not how it's supposed to be. What it's supposed to be is 100% of the work, not done by the pastor. 100% of the work done by the 100% of the people. And when all of us take the gift that God's given us and use it in serving in the church, needs get met. And the body grows. So I have a question. Are you using your spiritual gift to serve Christ in the church? Do you know what your gift is? We have needs here in the church. If you would like to get involved, if you know that Christ wants you to get involved, you see me. And we will get you involved in a ministry here at Faith Bible Fellowship. It's part of our growth in the Lord. It's part of our role in the church to minister and to serve Jesus Christ in the church. Okay, we're going to the last question. Why is church membership important? We saw what the church is. The church is Christ's program. It is a group of called out people, and it is all around the world. Anybody that receives Christ. We, our role is to be committed and involved in the church. It is to work together in the church, to build up the church, to be together. It is to serve and minister for Jesus Christ. That's our role. But why church membership? What's the importance of church membership? First of all, church membership, public commitment to a local church, is a witness to the world. It's a witness to the world around us. And again, I mentioned that the universal church is sometimes called the invisible church. And I don't like that, because the invisible church needs to become visible. You need to be able to see the church. And when you commit yourself to the church, to coming to church, it's a witness to those around us. Now, let me give you an illustration. See this right here? I don't know if you can see it out there. Let me take it off. This ring? Does it make me married? Well, if it made me married, I just took it off. I wouldn't be married anymore. See? This ring does not make me married. This ring does what? Shows the world that I am married. This ring doesn't make me committed to Linda. Doesn't make me committed to Linda. This ring shows that I'm committed to Linda. Church membership doesn't make you a Christian. It shows you are a Christian. It doesn't make you committed to Christ. It shows you're committed to Christ. And every time you get up and you walk out of your apartment, you walk out of your home, and you get in that car on Sunday morning, you go to church, people around are looking and saying, ooh, what are they doing that for? So early in the morning, 11 o'clock. You know, it's a witness. Why do I do this? Not because I have to. Because I love it. And I'm committed to Christ. I'm a Christian. You see, it shows the world. Secondly, church. Why become a church member? Because church is the greenhouse where Christians grow and mature in Christ. It's God's plan. God planned for us to grow in community, in relationship. And a good church provides opportunities for Christians to grow in Christ. Now, there are essentials for a good church. A good church should have solid biblical teaching, should have fellowship, should have encouragement, should have accountability, should give opportunities to love and serve one another. And as we do that, we grow. We grow in Christ. And folks, people, let me say it this way. It's just not enough to have the Word of God. Word of God is so important. It's our food as Christians. But we need each other to grow. I need you, and you need me. And that's what way God planned it, to be together in the church. Now, if somebody comes up and says, well, I don't need church. I can grow on my own. What do you think about that attitude? You know what that is? It's selfishness. Because maybe you can grow a little bit on your own. But you know what? You're only thinking about you. People need you here at church. And when we come, people need you here in the church. It's a place of growth, not only the growth of others, your growth, but the growth of others. Thirdly, church provides a place where we can minister to others and others can minister to us. And we come together and we minister one to another. We encourage one another. We build up one another in the church. And again, somebody comes and goes out and says, I didn't get anything out of that church service. The question is, what did you give? Because when we come to give praise to God, when we come to encourage someone else, we'll go out of the church filled up. If we only come to get, we go out empty. I can mention a lot of other reasons for church membership, mission support, giving to the Lord's work, accountability. But let me conclude with this. A reason for church membership: the church provides protection for its members. It provides protections. 1 Peter 5:8 says that we have an enemy. Satan says, be sober. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith. We have an enemy that attacks. And how a lion attacks, and I had a video that I wanted to show you on this. It's a powerful video. You can find it on YouTube. It's called The Battle at Cougar. It showed a lion's attack. A lion's will not generally attack a herd. They wait for one of the animals to wander off by itself. Just get a little far away from the herd, or a weak one. And then what the lion does, they don't run straight for that animal. They run to cut it off and get it by itself. And then once they have it by itself, they attack. And that's just what Satan does. When he wants to attack a Christian, one of the first things he does is try to get a person to stop going to church. Maybe it's, we won't go to prayer meeting anymore. Or let's not go to Sunday evening. And then sometimes it gets into even Sunday morning. And when he has you off by yourself, then he attacks. And I'll tell you, the church provides protection. Satan, I'll tell you, I may not be able to withstand, but we can withstand Satan and his attacks. And that's so important that we realize that here in the church. We are the church. Let me just, in conclusion, just read a little short writing about the church and what the church is. Listen to this. It's entitled, This Is My Church. It is composed of people just like me. It will be friendly if I am. It'll do great work if I work. It will make generous gifts to many causes if I am generous. It will bring others into fellowship if I bring them. Its seats will be filled if I fill them. It will be a church of loyalty and love, of faith and service, if I, who make it what it is, am filled with these. Therefore, with God's help, I dedicate myself to the task of being all the things I want my church to be. We are the church. When you become a Christian, there's a relationship with Christ's church. You come into the church and you become a part of Christ's program for this age. What a great privilege that is to be a part of that. Amen? Let's bow.